Hey, listeners, we have a good friend visiting with us, Miss Jessica Webb. We have a story to tell you about today that changed our school forever. So stay tuned and find out more.
Welcome to the iHeart STEAM podcast with your host, Bonnie Kirkley. Bonnie has been working in the STEAM education profession for the past 12 years. Her mission is to share her story with educators like you that love STEM, STEAM, and project-based learning. Currently, she works with a team of educators creating the ultimate STEAM-certified school. Let her share the good, the bad, and the joyful with you in her STEAM journey. Learn everything you will ever need to know about STEM and STEAM education right here. Now, here is your host, Bonnie Kirkley.
Welcome, everybody. I am Bonnie Kirkley, and you are listening to the iHeart STEAM Teacher Podcast. I'm so excited about today's episode. I'm going to be sharing with you seven projects that have just changed our school life for the good. So today is definitely a sharing of joyful things that have happened at our school, RBRI in Moultrie, Georgia. I have a friend with me today because I thought this is just too big for me to share on my own. And I have Jessica Webb. She is our tech lab instructor, not computer lab instructor, tech lab. And that is an episode for another day. But Jessica, hello, welcome. Tell us about yourself and tell us about the real Jessica, not just school Jessica.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, for having me on your podcast today. Like she said, I am Jessica Webb, and I am the Instructional Technology Specialist at RBRI. And I just wrapped up my 17th year teaching. Majority of my career has been spent in the classroom, mostly in third grade. I have a master's degree in reading and a specialist degree in instructional technology. I was actually a reading interventionist before moving into my current position as the instructional technology specialist. I live on the farm, and I have two kids that actually attend RBRI as well. So what we're doing at RBRI really means a lot to me, and it's been an exciting journey as a mother and as a teacher.
That good. I'm glad you brought up that you had been teaching third grade and that you have a degree in reading. You're a reading specialist degree. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct.
Because one of the things that I have been trying to promote is that you can use STEM or STEAM instruction in any subject.
That's
it fits
correct.
Right into any subject. So the listeners, let me tell you, this is how all this got started. We decided, I think 4 years ago, that we wanted to pursue a STEM certification, which then evolved into STEAM. And we went to the state conference and we visited all around and we saw all these great presentations and things that other schools do. And what we figured out was that the best way to really get students working in project-based learning activities and using STEM or STEAM as a basis for the standards was to implement big projects on a grade level, like one per grade level basis. So we met with all the teachers and we talked with them. We introduced it to them. And then we let them kind of come up with the areas they felt comfortable working in, because that's important, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, absolutely. When you are focused on something that you love, it just comes naturally and you're excited about it. And that overflows into the classroom and you get your kids excited as well. So that's definitely important.
Right. And I can say that not everyone was always super excited about the project that they chose for their grade level, but they have grown to love it.
I agree. I mean, it can become overwhelming at times. And so you just
especially starting.
That's right. You have to look at how far we've come and it's baby steps, you know, for improving. So we're just progressing every day and every year.
Right. So I feel like, and you tell me, I felt like The projects we're going to share today have changed our school forever for the good.
I agree.
There's no going back.
No, we've got to. I mean, the kids love it. And for the most part, like you said, the teachers love it. It's a lot of work. But when you see the kids and how excited they are about each of their projects, and even having my own kids say, oh, you know, in third grade, we made smoothies, or, you know, it's meaningful to them when they can look back at all the hard work they, you know, put toward this project for their grade level.
Right. Well, before we tell you about the projects, let me explain the format to you. So each grade level, K through five, works on a year-long project-based learning activity or project. They pull in their standards for English or ELA, reading, math, science, sometimes social studies. We integrate technology and the engineering design process into these projects. And they work on it for a whole year. And then the next year, they move up a grade level, but the project for that grade level stays the same. So they know going from kindergarten to first grade, next year I get to work on the garden. So first grade is always this one project. Kindergarten is another project. So they kind of take ownership that year, and they can't wait to make it their own. And then they look forward to being able to work on the other projects that they've seen from year to year. So where do you want to start, kindergarten or fifth?
I say let's start with kindergarten and move up.
Okay. All right, let's start with kindergarten. So I'm going to go backwards in my notes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. That's why I asked, because I wanted to go to my notes and see. So, okay, our kindergartners. This is one of my favorites.
It's one of my favorites, too.
It's hard to say this is my favorite or that's my favorite, but this is for sure one of my favorites. So kindergarten collects water bottles throughout the year, and they have a driving question. So every project has a driving question, and their driving question is, how can we keep our campus clean and litter free? I think, is that right?
That's right. Cleaner and litter free.
Right. And what they noticed, they collect data on that, and they actually pick up trash and collect trash data. And then they notice that one of the biggest things that they find are water bottles, Gatorade bottles, you know, just the plastic bottle. So what they do is they collect them. And they've been needing so many, we've had to branch out to asking our community. And so it's a regular thing for us to show up to work and there be 2 30-gallon bags of water bottles sitting at the front door waiting on us.
And you know, that collection bin is outside of my room. And a lot of times we have to move the garbage bags full. You know, we have to haul them down to kindergarten or put them in the storage closet because we've collected so much. So it's turned into a great community project as well.
Mm-hmm. I think the community has enjoyed helping us. So tell us about what they do when they get enough water bottles to create something. You tell us what they do.
So I had the pleasure of working with kindergarten to create a promotional video for Market Day that we recently had. And they actually sent 3 kindergartners down to make this video. And they did such a good job telling about how they use the recycled bottles. And they cut the bottles. They use permanent markers to color them. And they make these beautiful plastic chandeliers. They're bright and colorful. Some of them are your favorite sports teams theme colors. And they also will make bowls out of plastic recycled bowls. They've colored them, and it's just really cute the way they've taken trash and turned it into a treasure.
I know, and you mentioned Market Day, so I have to tell listeners that Market Day was something new that we introduced this year. We've been working on these projects for 3 years, and we really, you know, something that's important with project-based learning is that you have a call to action or that you get on a public stage at the end to share what you've worked on. So this gave them that opportunity without them having to do, I mean, they still had to do a lot of work, but they didn't have to go contact this person. The stage, the audience came to them.
Yeah, so we had a lot of community people come out that day. It was really good to see the community to support our market day like they did.
And kindergarten sold out of all of their products. Do you remember how fast it was? Or
I think they sold out before lunch. Is that correct?
Possibly. Maybe in like 2 hours.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they sold really quickly.
But I know one of the coolest things is downtown, a couple of the stores bought some of the chandeliers and they've put them in their storefront windows.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
It's just been really good. And, you know, the kids can explain their project and they can tell you why they're doing this and to recycle the bottles, and they know the purpose behind it. So it's been a great project for kindergarten, and the kindergarten teachers are jumped on board and have just done a great job, you know, teaching this unit and just making it real meaningful to the kids, and the projects have been fabulous. So
they really have. And the kindergartners are doll babies. I love them. They're so excited about everything every day. If I could just have one teaspoon of that excitement every single day, I would be a much better person in life. Oh, me, they're so excited. All right, let's move on to first grade. So first grade has raised bed gardens, and they grow produce with the intent of creating a product from their produce. And this year they finally made the product. And when I say finally, every year it was always their intentions to create a product. Something would happen. I can tell you that last year, I know exactly what happened. We had Hurricane Michael.
Yes.
They
just had a hard time getting to their having a product to sell at the end, or a product for their kids to enjoy. This year, even though we did have something for market day, they still didn't get to see their garden produce, the cucumbers and all the produce that they, you know, would have had.
They were out.
Yeah.
So we've been sharing on social media some of the zucchinis, cucumbers and peppers that have been growing. But I will tell you something that they did, and they've asked and asked and asked, and we finally got around to it last year. They wanted their raised beds to be improved. And so finally in this past year, we got some funding so that we could make them taller, so that they didn't always, and not to sound like we're spoiled, but so that they didn't always have to get on their knees to do their gardening. But with first graders, if there's ants or rocks and pebbles and things like that, that just gives you one more thing in the way of just getting out there and working. And so they're really happy with their new raised beds, and they actually got to collaborate with kindergarten. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, those new beds that we got, they're awesome, and they're raised, like you said. And so we started with the problem of, now we have a lot of topsoil that we need to fill these beds with. And when we all started looking at that was going to be a lot of topsoil that we were going to have brought in. So they collaborated with kindergarten to use the recycled bottles to lay as a foundation in their beds. And I'm not sure how deep the bottles actually were, but then we brought the topsoil in and put it on top of the bottles, so that way we didn't have a complete bed, and it helps with the drainage. And so it worked. The two grade levels worked well together to solve that problem.
I think it worked out. And that's what we've been finding, is that when you do these projects, like a year-long project with one driving question, you find that you have no idea how it's going to turn out. You don't know where it's going to lead to. And you end up working in collaboration with another grade, and you couldn't have planned it. There's a lot of that goes into it. You just can't plan.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you run into problems and you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. And, you know, we've discovered that we have a lot of people in the school, not necessarily in our grade level or even that it's a classroom teacher, but that can be helpful in solving those problems, that come up with a great idea, which is a great way for us to teach our kids that, you know, we don't always have the answer. And it's okay to ask other people for help, and to ask other people that are experts in other fields to help us when we're trying to solve a problem.
And that's the point of it all. We want them to find out as much about life as they can.
That's right.
So that they can make better decisions later on the directions that they want to go. Okay, so we're moving to second grade. And I guess if I'd have to say one is my favorite, oh, I love this one.
Well, it's just been great for our school. I mean, it's beautiful, you know, when...
Just tell them what it is. I think we skipped that part.
Yeah, we did skip that. And it's a pollinator garden. And it's actually a spot between two buildings that are on our campus. And it was not a beauty spot before, but now it is. It's gorgeous. They've done a great job. And I think you can go into detail about how all those plants came about and the irrigation, but it's just beautiful. I take a class after lunch every day through that garden, and it's just beautiful to see what's blooming and to see the different pollinators that come and go. And it's a great thing for our school and for our kids and for our parents when they come to visit as well. It's definitely something we like to show off.
Yes, everyone's so impressed, and it did take quite a bit of work and research for the second graders in the beginning. They actually really researched what plants are native to our area that pollinators are attracted to, even down to like what pollinator would be attracted to that plant. Then they chose the plants from there, and then they were really crafty in getting things donated because, I mean, when we got started with this, we had limited funding, and we still do, but
that's right.
The more the community comes and sees what we're doing, we get people stopping by the office and say, I'd like to give something to this project. It has impressed me so much. Here's $100. So in the beginning, we didn't have that. It was just a voice. And now we actually have something to show and others want to help. So that's something good that your school could look forward to if you decide to work on projects such as these. But they don't have to do a whole lot of work to it now.
No.
Other than keep it cleaned out and, you know, do a little bit of pine straw work here and there. But once those pollinator plants are planted, they're basically wildflowers, most of them. And they're annuals, right?
I think they're perennials.
Okay. Is perennial the one that comes back?
Yes, they come back every year.
Okay.
Yes.
So they just come back every year and they don't have to keep replanting. Then they do have one little raised box that they replant from. And when they replant from their seeds. They harvest their seeds.
And I will say, you know, second grade, the teachers as well as the students have worked really hard. And like you said, there was a lot of work at the very beginning because they had to plant. I mean, I can remember watching them out there and they came in their play clothes and they planted plants and really spent a lot of time in working on that. And now they're able to reap the benefits because it's just absolutely beautiful. And like you said, there's not much upkeep from year to year now, you know, some pruning and sprucing up, but it's just beautiful.
Yes, it's one of my favorite. And if you go up there now, this time in June, July, this is when that garden is just in full bloom. And there are so many little insects flying all around everywhere. It just, when you walk in there, you almost feel like you're moving.
Yes. And it's really neat to watch the kids out there collecting data. And it's an outdoor classroom. I mean, you know, they're out there collecting data and observing and predicting on what's going to happen, you know, with this pollinator and what's going to bloom. It's been a great learning experience for not only second grade, but for all the kids, because even the fifth graders like to walk through there and see what's, you know, going on.
Right. All right, so that brings us to third grade. And I was excited to talk with you about third grade because the first year that we worked on this project, or the third graders, their driving question is, can we start a healthy eating movement using a hydroponic garden? So they have this big tower garden, and they grow greens on it, and they want to encourage their peers and classmates to eat healthier foods and participate in healthier activities.
That's right.
So that first year we had it in a different area, and we got a problem and figured out that one of our best helpers was your husband.
Yes, he ended up being a community helper, a partner, and helping us figure out about our aphids that we had and how to get rid of them because we had a pile.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And trying to figure out what was the healthiest or the safest option for treating the aphids inside the school building so that we, you know, didn't spray something that was dangerous for the kids or for the, at the time, I think they had, what did they have? Lettuce on there. So something that they could still pull it off and eat and it was a safe option for them. So he would call in, he would do some FaceTiming with the classes and it just was a consultant for them on how to treat their aphid problem.
And tell us what makes him an expert.
He actually has his master's degree in plant protection and he is a fourth generation farmer. And so he sees aphids in his crops often and has to treat, you know, different insects and things that harm his crops. And so that is what makes him an expert in that field.
Gotcha. We've enjoyed talking with Mr. Webb. And I remember that first year he said, why don't y'all, did he say, he told us to try ladybugs, right?
Yes. We tried ladybugs.
Like, what? Ladybugs? This, and so, but we did, we bought, you can buy, it's a thing, you can buy ladybugs and have them mailed to you, believe it or not. So we did. We had ladybugs mailed to us, and then we released them on this tower garden. And every day, kids would just go up to this thing and watch these ladybugs. Just they didn't leave. They stayed right there because they had a food source.
That's right. They were eating the aphids. So it was really interesting. And he had some pressure on him as well. We had a third grade student at the time. And she was every night, she's, Daddy, we still have aphids. What are we going to do? So, you know, just teaching them to be patient and to let the ladybugs, you know, do their job. And but yeah, it was a little touch and go for a little while.
But that's what we want to happen.
That's right.
I guess that's something we should share. You will have moments when you work on projects on a scale like this where you're so frustrated because it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to for your students. And they get frustrated or you get frustrated. But what you don't realize, you need that to happen. You need failures because that gives you the opportunity to problem solve again. And that's really the only outcome that you want from working in during project-based learning is to problem solve.
Absolutely. And that's life. You know, we all have failure, you times that we fail and we have to say, oh, that didn't work. What can I do differently? And so we're preparing them for life and for when they get out on their own and for jobs, you know, oh, that didn't work. I need to, what can I do to improve? And so I'm very proud to say that we, you know, I work in a school where we teach our kids problem solving.
It has been a blessing. Okay, so that brings us to the fourth grade project. And every time I say, okay, I think this was my favorite, then I remember another one and I'm like, ah, it's so hard to pick. But the fourth grade project, you wouldn't believe it, but our fourth graders created a habitat on the playground for a gopher tortoise, which is a protected species in Georgia, and worked with the Department of Natural Resources to acquire that gopher tortoise and a permit for the gopher tortoise. Can you tell us about your experiences with fourth grade working on that project?
Well, fourth grade, they did a wonderful job. And, you know, how many schools can say they have a gopher tortoise? I mean, it's a unique project. It's been great. I helped fourth grade whenever they needed help as far as online resources, but they've really taken ownership of this project and just done a great job. But the kids love Rosie. You know, they created a habitat. They've decorated her habitat. They've researched on how they can maintain her habitat, you know, where it's healthy for her. You know, they've ran into problems just like we've talked about.
Right.
The water in her burrow and, you know, how to solve that problem. And then they also, things that she eats, just little things. And the kids, when they're on the playground, they love to go out there and see her and when Mr. Wingate feeds her. And so it's just cool. It's a cool project. I mean, I told someone the other day about us having, and they kind of looked at me like I was a little crazy. And I was like, yeah, we have a gopher tortoise, but we have a permit to have a gopher tortoise, you know.
And what better place, because I know that with a lot of these projects, when students are walking past, they don't get the chance to just stop and look because they're going from this place to that. But being that it's on the playground, they can go over and watch as much as they want.
That's right. And it's not just a fourth grade project. I mean, it's fourth grade. They're responsible for it. But even the kids in kindergarten know about Rosie, you know. Right. So a lot of them just really enjoy getting to see our school pet.
Yes. Yes. And then they added some in the past year. What did they add?
Oh, we've got all kinds of birds.
Yeah, but did they build something else too? They added another habitat, like fish.
Oh, yeah. We've got the fish and the koi pond. I'm sorry. Yes. I forgot all about the koi pond. They have a koi pond over by the fourth grade building, and they've worked really hard on that. You know, they had some problems with that as well. I think, was it the plants and the water that it was – wasn't clear. Can't remember. They had a problem, but they reached out to an expert in the community to help them, who actually donated their koi fish. And they've added things for their project as well throughout the years. And it's been good to see them grow and to take ownership of that.
You've probably heard us say the word donation or donated often, and you're wondering, well, how do you get that? But I want to tell you, if you're listening and you're thinking, we don't have anyone to do that, you have to reach out and you have to get started on something. But once you get started on something and someone helps you one time, you will not take anything less than a donation for anything else that you want for a project or something that you know you could possibly get donated, because it's easier to go purchase it, but it's a whole lot more beneficial if someone works with you on it.
I agree. And, you know, I've always heard, you know, you have to tell your story, you know, and if you get the word out in your community and you have your kids telling their grandparents and you have, you invite people into your school to see the different projects you're working on and you post it on social media, people want to help. And a lot of times they don't know how, but they want to help. So if you will get the word out of what you need, you know, oftentimes people will donate those items.
Right. So our last project, and it actually went through a big change. The first year, they wanted to work on the playground. The fifth graders like to play basketball, and our playground, half of it was covered in sand, which was caused from an erosion area from a hill. So the first year they worked on that project and they actually got that problem solved that year, working with County Roads and Bridges. They actually learned how to use survey equipment and watch excavators run, and it was just amazing. But they got that problem solved, and so then they brainstormed on how to create a project that maybe would benefit all of the other projects and that could always continue on. And that's when they came up with building compost bins and creating compost to go into our gardens and sell at market day, which hasn't been very easy. I'll admit to that.
It has been a challenge,
and their teachers have worked so hard on it.
They have. And you know, they've had our assistant principal to help them, who knew about composting. And so they've worked with outside experts on this and just really, really tried to work on the compost. But being in South Georgia, and at the time we had a lot of rain and a lot of heat, and then the lid got left open. So they've learned, you know, what to do, what not to do, but it just takes time. And unfortunately, we ran out of time right there at the end of the year. But
their compost did make this year, but I think it was the year before it didn't make.
Yes.
Possibly.
But like you said, it's trial and error, and they're learning, and the kids have learned. But, you know, the kids made so many different resources to educate the little kids about compost and what you should put in the compost bin and what you shouldn't. They made a really cool video teaching the kids about things on their trays that they should add to the compost bin and things that you shouldn't. And they made the little flyers that were around the school. And so it became an educational project, you know, to inform all the little kids about compost and how to create a compost bin.
Right. And so I know that we keep saying we have 7 projects that go on in each grade level, but they're all intertwined. And each year, the number of students that have worked on Project X multiplies. And so a fifth grader at RB Wright could have possibly worked on the last 3 projects. And so still feels like they have ownership and want to help those kids, students, and see them succeed. So it keeps trickling down and giving back. So it's, you know, it's really kind of neat how we have it set up.
I agree. And I will say I've been so impressed with our teachers and their dedication to their projects and constant learning how to improve their projects. And also just how they help each other across grade levels.
Right.
And not only the classroom teachers, but, you know, rotation teachers, pairs, everyone has just kind of jumped in. And if they knew about compost, you know, hey, I can help y'all by doing this. Or if you knew about how to make smoothies, you know, just everyone's really pitched in and just really helped to make every grade level's project successful.
Right. Before we go today, I've had a lot of fun, Jessica, and I'm glad you finally came on and joined me. Before we go today, I want to tell everyone that's listening that you can do this too. You just have to get started, and it doesn't mean that your whole grade level has to start. You could start in your own classroom, but like Miss Webb has been telling us, it takes a team to make these projects successful. And you may not have people willing to at first, but if you just get started,
I agree.
That's the first step, then the help will come. It's almost like if you build it, they will come.
That's right.
And that's what happens. But before we go, are you ready? I want to have a little bit more fun. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to play a game, and I picked this one just for you. We're going to play Most Outrageous.
Okay.
So when you think of outrageous, I want you to think of it as fantastic, awesome, crazy, anything with a wow factor, not necessarily like I know some people think of outrageous as ridiculous, but just the wow factor. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Tell us the most outrageous place you have been to.
Probably San Francisco.
Okay. What about the most outrageous food you have eaten?
I'm trying to think. I'm not real adventurous with my food, so I'm kind of that person that orders the same thing at one restaurant every time I go. So I don't know. Let me skip that one.
Okay, we'll come back to it. Most outrageous activity you have ever done?
Jumping overboard and swimming into an island that was way too far. Should have never done that.
Okay. All right. I'll ask you about that later.
Yeah.
Most outrageous things your children say.
Oh, it would definitely have to be something that Henry has. Definitely something that Henry has said. Gosh, I hate to even say it, but I guess I'll say it anyways. He was asking the other day if I was going to have him a baby brother or sister. And no, and he asked me, he said, is that because you've been fixed?
Good. All right. What about your most outrageous moment at work?
Gosh. Probably, honestly, March the 13th, when we realized we were going to be out for 2 weeks because of COVID, you know, that was outrageous to me. It was something that I would have never dreamed would have happened.
Yes. I'm going to go back to most outrageous food you've eaten? Have you ever had to try something to not be rude? Maybe you're in that situation.
I was trying to think, but no, probably like an oyster, but I don't eat oysters either, but that's kind of normal for other people, but I don't like oysters either, but no, okay. I'm not, like I said, I'm not real adventurous with my food.
Yes. And number six, this is the last one. I'm going to do it for you. And I'm pretty sure you're going to agree from what you just said. And number five, most outrageous year so far. Would you agree that it has been 2020?
Oh, absolutely. It has been an outrageous year. Yes. Yes. It's been, I mean, it, to begin with, you know, it was just a learning year for me, just being taken on. This is my second year as an instructional technology specialist and, you know, trying to really get into my groove. And then all this happened. So, you know, it's been a learning year though. You know, we've learned, we've really learned how to do Google Meets and we've learned how to do online learning. And hopefully we've all grown from this and we'll just only continue to improve. So
I hope so too. Jessica, let me say thank you again. We're going to have you back on soon to talk about your computer lab deconstruction. And that is exactly what she did the first year that she went in. It was Hurricane Jessica and she took down the computer lab. We'll have you back on to talk about that on another day. But listeners, I want to thank you for joining today. Let's tell Jessica goodbye. And please leave a review and subscribe. I can't wait to join you again right here on the iHeartSTEAM Teacher Podcast.
Thank you.
Cheers, y'all. Bye, Jessica.
Thank you, Bonnie.